Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new Jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Naomi.
My name is Andy.
And we're a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians. Went too fast there.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple of different questions from a couple of different listeners. I know you really came in hot.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know what? We had just recorded an episode.
Yes, we did.
And we're actually re-recording this intro. We had recorded an intro yesterday.
Yep. And Friday, then, even. We recorded it 2 days ago. Okay, we were like, we're being
recording
early.
This is Super Bowl Sunday. We're recording this intro. The Super Bowl hasn't started yet.
It hasn't even started. This is the pregame.
Yes.
This is the Super Bowl pre-show. Anyway.
Anyway, the point is, we were watching the Ask Rana Valentine's Day show yesterday, and yes. Naomi turns to me and goes, hey, we recorded the intro, and this episode's coming out the day before Valentine's Day. We did not, this show is called Couples Therapy. We have been together for 14 years. We have not mentioned Valentine's Day.
I know.
Shows you how important it is to us.
Well, especially because last year the episode dropped on Valentine's
and
Day.
We made no mention.
We made no mention whatsoever. And I was like, what is that about? Is considering our whole thing is that we're two lovers.
Well,
you know, real life couple of comedians who can't be bothered to even acknowledge Valentine's Day.
I don't think it is an important holiday for us. I think
that's true.
It also, you know, I was thinking about this earlier. When I'm like, oh yeah, I guess we have to talk about Valentine's Day because we're re-recording this. If you go back far enough, mm-hmm. everything that we do right now, mm-hmm. it's either because a rich person had a surplus of something. So like someone in like 1897 had a surplus of chocolate, and so they invented a holiday where people buy chocolate for each other, right?
Right.
Or someone said, I want to deny black people something, and that's why we do X or Y today. Those are the two reasons anyone in America does anything today. Not out of the spirit of either of those things.
Yeah.
I mean, some. But if you go back in time far enough, those are the two reasons anything has happened in this country. So that is why I think Valentine's Day, it's like, I don't know what, it, you know, some greeting card company made it. I don't know. And they just like grabbed a saint.
Well, it's just funny you say that because like when I was younger, I was very into Valentine's Day as somebody who wanted to be in love.
Uh-huh.
And then once I was like in a relationship, I think I've maybe had two relationships that actually covered Valentine's, where it was like, okay, it's a thing to do. But this goes back to the same reason why I don't like New Year's Eve. I don't like holidays where there's pressure, where it's like, this is a day where you're supposed to do a thing, and it is indicative of the quality of your relationship and how much you're in love, and this is when you... Nah, nah, nah. It's way too much pressure. But I fetishized it when I was single and lonesome. Mm. You know what I mean? Watching rom-coms, watching my best friend's wedding, listening to the entire soundtrack on loop. I said, will I ever have a Valentine? And now here I am with someone I love very deeply. And you know what the most romantic thing is to me?
Mm-hmm.
When you load that damn dishwasher. You know how I feel loved? When you've made a perfect dinner. You know how I feel loved? When you let me lay in bed all day and you say, hun, it's okay. That's not a prefix menu at a restaurant.
Naomi,
that's not a dozen roses.
I'm really sorry, but the only way that you can show love on Valentine's Day is an expensive prefix dinner.
That's true. You're
of
right.
Of like whatever the chef just had lying around.
I know. It's like the extras. Yeah. It's like, oh, we have a surplus. Okay, so let's just say everyone, you either. And here's my thing with the prefix too.
Yeah.
The vegetarian option is always bland and boring.
Yes. It's like it squash never... and oats. it's not even cooked.
It's like, why are you giving me a bowl of gruel? And then it's like, yeah, it's
very
still costs,
Oliver Twist.
But it still costs the same amount as like if I gotten the steak.
Yeah.
And that's rude.
Yeah.
That's rude.
Yeah, yeah. $55.
It's like, are you out of your mind?
$55 for fried pickles.
Oh my God, y'all. Do you know, I'm sick of these white-owned businesses. Because we ordered food for pickup. And they included a 15% gratuity. And I just really felt like you already charged me $26 for a mushroom patty. Isn't that going to the front of house staff? Isn't that getting to the kitchen? If the food already costs too much. And honestly, you put it together and you put it in a box. And then I picked up that box. Is a 15% gratuity the thing? Come at me. Actually, don't. I don't want to hear it. I stand by what I just said.
Just so 15 we're clear.
Percent just when so, the food was already expensive. Yeah.
Just so we're absolutely clear. The point
and I picked it up from you?
The point isn't the tip. We're very generous tippers.
Oh, no, of course.
The point is the tip for nothing, for doing absolutely, for we picked it up.
Yeah.
No one served us.
No one had to deal with me. No one had to bring me a fork after I dropped my first one. No one had to
listen to me ask questions
about the food.
The food wasn't very good. We could have returned it if we had been there.
If I had been there, I would have said, oh, no, you have to. I don't want this. And I would have got money. But they put a 15% gratuity on that takeout. I had never had that happen to me before. I think I've never had a 15% gratuity on a takeout. Not when I done picked it up myself.
Mm-mm.
Not when I picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
Not when I walk inside there.
And we took a chance. This is a like hip-ish kind of LA restaurant.
It's hip-ish, yeah.
And it's been 3 or more years since we ate there, okay? It was never very good. It was just that it was like a cool place to be.
And it's close.
And they changed the menu, and I'm like, why don't we pick up, okay?
Right. Yeah, it's close enough to pick up. And the menu looks different.
I gotta tell you, folks, food was not any better.
Same old shit. Same old shit.
New shit, same bad taste.
New shit, same bad taste. But anyway.
Anyway, so that's Valentine's Day.
Yeah, was that our Valentine's meal? Saturday night? Maybe. Honestly, nothing more romantic than you and I complaining together. that is love in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's absolutely our version of love. Naomi, I want to get into an update.
Yes.
Okay? Because, look, folks, if we give you advice... We would love an update.
Love to know what you did. Even if your update is y'all are dumb or update.
Saying that about us.
Yes. Okay. Or like update. You ruined my life. Or update. I didn't do a single thing you said. Or update. You answered my question 9 months late. I want to know where you're at now.
In Dylan's episode, a bride to be was worried.
Yes. Okay? Yes, yes, yes. Because her family is, you know, conservative, might embarrass her. And
I don't
she
even
has
think
a,
just like, I think maybe just out of touch, maybe was the phrase.
I don't know, honey. I think she was like, they're going to say something offensive to somebody.
Yes, a lot of their friends are queer.
Yes. And
a lot
said,
of their relatives
what
are,
should we do?
Are, I don't know what the word is.
Basic conservative Reagan. Bitches, possibly. Reagan. Or
friends of Reagan. Is that the phrase we should
use? That's it. There's a friend of Dorothy, a friend of Reagan. Go ahead.
So they sent it, and we said, I don't remember what we said, but here's their update. Ah, what? Thank you so much for answering my question. I was so giddy listening to your answers. I had to pause the episode to follow up. Dylan is correct that I'm having an anxiety dream about it. I'm worried that people will look to me to answer for everything. Outdated means grandma might disapprove of a woman with a shaved head or aunt will... By the way, Naomi, I'm sorry to break in this. It's your influence. I have never said aunt in my life before.
Ha ha, yes.
It was always aunt.
I know.
Aunt Renee, Aunt Emily. Now, aunt, that's you. That's all you. Now, is that a Valentine's Day gift that I now say aunt?
I'll take it.
Or an aunt will ask why I let my bridesmaid wear combat boots, or a cousin may be weird about the best man wearing nail polish. I thought I knew what your advice would be, and I'm pleasantly surprised to have some different perspectives to consider. Thanks again.
Oh, I can't wait for your wedding. You have to realize, too, you're actually going to be so busy and inundated on your wedding day that you're not even going to have time to be, like, policing and taking care of everybody. And especially, remember, everybody a damn adult. So, and I bet some of your queer friends got... conservative, outdated family at home.
Yeah.
They know how to deal with these people.
Yeah.
And nobody should be getting into it on a wedding anyway.
You don't have to worry. You're not going to have to worry. You're not going to have to
However, like also, if grandma's like, why is he wearing nail polish? She's like, grandma, do you want the color? It's like, let it go.
So, but the listeners, Naomi, had a panoply of comments about this
Bring it.
Okay. Because one said, a listener, now they started off, they understand the bride's dilemma, but, yeah. quote, as a gay lady myself, I really do not like the idea of someone having to prepare their family for possibly encountering me in the wild.
It makes
me feel like I am the weirdo.
Okay.
Please, dear listener, bride-to-be, stress about something else and let the queers and olds figure it out like adults in the world.
Absolutely.
Okay. But then another listener wrote in and said, just want to offer some info for the listener seeking advice for their wedding regarding queer friends and quote-unquote outdated family. Again, I'm going to go with friends of Reagan. I think that's the new... As background, my pronouns are she, her. My spouse's pronouns are also she, her. I'm femme, she's mask, both Jewish. Our wedding was a real grab bag of genders. We sent this email to the guests beforehand so that one straight guest got some info and two queer guests knew that we had their backs. And then there's a long email that kind of talks about pronouns and other things like that.
Oh, wow.
That's possible. Mm-hmm, you could do that.
You could, but you also don't have to. Let the olds and the queers figure it out. I'm back with the first person.
Yeah, I don't know,
it also depends on your family and, like, what their dynamic is. Some people appreciate it and are like, I'm excited for this, and I want to make sure I don't misstep.
Yeah.
In which case, great. And then other people feel like, you know, like the first person where it's like, I don't want to feel like someone has to be, like, taught how to interact with me.
Yes.
So it's like, we're going into the safari. Quietly now, observe. You know what I mean? Like, no one wants that feeling about themselves. So it all depends on kind of
Did we not
dynamic.
Send out an email about, like, COVID precautions and things like that to people?
Yeah, we also had, like, we had a Q&A section where it's like, you know, where we're like, hey, these are common questions and here's our answers. Like, especially, you know, can I bring my kid? No. He is why. Blessings to you. We understand if you cannot attend.
Yeah, what should I wear? All that kind of stuff.
Yes.
I did end the Q&A section with whatever happened to Big Johnson t-shirts?
You did. Absolutely. Also, there was one page full of pictures and at the bottom, Andy put Pennywise.
But no, I put...
During a break in shooting
from
it?
from the original It miniseries. Tim Curry dressed as Pennywise smoking a cigarette.
It's just at the bottom with a collage of lovers photos
under an umbrella.
No explanation. And no one ever brought it up.
No one did. But you can send an email out if you want,
but I also think that, like, these, you know, these people, you know, I'm assuming that the family that you're closest to will know some of your friends and at the very least, like, knows your social circle, like, who these people are. So they shouldn't be, like, thrown off. You know what I'm saying? So I think it will be fine.
Yes.
Now, can I talk about, you know, also a couple weeks ago, I was telling people to leave 5-star reviews and tell me their recipes they make for lazy days.
Specifically, Naomi, you said, put the word compelling in the review.
This is on
Apple Podcasts. You said, put the word compelling in there and put your go-to meal.
Okay.
Your go-to meal. And listeners, you respond. I really love this. I love how many responses we got for this.
Please, y'all are really
I will
beautiful.
Say this. Continue to do this. Put the word 5 stars, the word compelling, and your go-to meal, and we will read them on the show. Naomi, I've given you my phone that I put them together in a file.
Yes. Okay. So first one, instant noodles or frozen fried rice, TJ's shave style noodles and veg fried rice are faves, with a fried or scrambled egg on top. Yes. I like this. That's simple. Because I let you put an egg on top. Now it's like a whole thing. You got a protein. Okay. Someone actually just wrote three words. Tater tot hot dish. Hot dish.
I think
is one
that's
word.
My favorite.
Hot
I don't even know what that
word.
Is.
Don't know what it is. I'd like you to expand on that. Tater tot hot dish.
Yes, new review.
New review, compelling.
Compelling.
Tater tot hot dish, colon. Tell me what's going on there.
Tell us what's going on in your colon.
Tell. Now, someone else says, my go-to meal any time of day is a breakfast sandwich, egg, cheese, and bacon or sausage. Ideally, I have a perfectly ripe avocado. And I said, okay, yes, this is good.
Yeah.
Simple, elegant.
I love this one. It's just all caps, tacos.
All caps.
All
know?
Caps.
And it depends. I don't know if that's simple, though, because what are we putting in the tacos?
Oh, yeah. When I make tacos, it's very complicated.
He's cutting up all these veggies and sauteed all these veggies, then adding the soy rizo. I mean, that's going to take you some time.
Yeah.
That's going to take you some time.
You got corn. You got mini sweet peppers.
Yep.
You got tomatoes.
Yep.
You got the soy rizo.
Yeah. Ideally, you would like an avocado crema. Ideally, you'd like some avo.
Yeah.
I mean, I like some avo in there.
Shredded
ideally.
Monty Jack.
Of course.
So it's a lot. It's a production. But I also like this... My go-to meal when I don't feel like cooking is oven roasted chickpeas and veggies, preferably broccoli. That sounds up my alley. I usually toss them in curry powder and other seasonings that tickle my fancy. Sometimes I even make a quick mock tzatziki.
Get out.
With some Greek yogurt, grated cucumber,
okay,
seasonings, and lemon juice to drizzle on top. Quick and easy.
No.
Just like me.
You, Ina Gart.
And then a winky smiley face.
Quick and easy. Just okay, so you a slutty Ina Gart. Because you over here talking about, you know, just some classic roast vegetables, make my own tzatziki. No, that's advanced. That's advanced. I'm talking about some white rice with a fried egg. I'm talking about the people who said, you know what? We got one pan, 10 minutes in a dream.
I mean, this person just says miso soup. Simple.
Thank you. And that's, you know, you could just order that. You know? Yeah, you over here roasted. Chickpeas and veggies? No, no, no. You fancy. You
if you have to drain a can, that's not a quick go-to easy meal.
No. I mean, look, again, the moment you're making your own dressings, okay, because you're grating cucumber, and then also whatever seasonings that tickle you fancy, the fact that you have a fancy to tickle vis-a-vis seasonings, you fancy, okay? You fancy. You out of here. Okay, somebody else is something that I just think I need to put out here we need to talk about as a community, because I just saw the top line, but I said, what? My go-to dinner is savory oatmeal. I said, excuse me. The base recipe is simple. Prepare as instructed using broth instead of water. But the real magic begins when you add toppings. I'm into the way they're telling the story. My favorite combination is salsa, avocado, sunflower, and hemp seeds, and nutritional yeast.
Interesting.
My wife likes to make pizza oatmeal with marinara sauce and mozzarella. If we have time and energy, we saute any veggies we have in the fridge and throw that on top. Mushrooms and kale work beautifully.
Wow.
I'm not into it. Because I'm trying to imagine, I'm like, is it giving polenta? Because the thing is, when my oatmeal, I do the quick cook Irish steel cut. So it's got some texture to it.
Do you say that before you do an audition or something?
Yes. Quick cook steel cut. Steel
red,
cut.
Leather, yellow, quick leather. Cut. Quick cut steel cut.
But, like, because it sounds wild to me. What I'm hearing is wild.
What I was imagining when I heard the phrase savory oatmeal was oatmeal and someone cutting up steak and just dropping pieces of steak inside it.
I mean, like, what I'm thinking about, because at first I'm thinking congee, which I get. I was like, congee, but, like, that also feels much more, like, liquidy. Like,
what is
a
that?
Little more soupy. So that's, like, so then I'm like, okay.
Wait, what's that?
It's like a Chinese savory kind of porridge soup. It's like a porridge soup mix.
Okay.
And you know, it's savory. But it's like, then when I get into, it's like, I think the nutritional yeast, or maybe the marinara sauce and mozzarella, that's when I start to be confused. Because I can almost take an oatmeal and a broth, but it would have to be very soupy, and then maybe you put, like, some shredded chickums. I don't know. This one's wild. Andy, our listeners run the gamut. They run the gamut. Because that's a lot. That's a lot.
Should we change the name of the show? Run the Gamut?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Speaking of the show, who was our guest on today's show, Naomi?
This was a fun one because it's a friend of ours.
Yeah, this is great.
This is the one, the only, you've already heard her dulcet tones, Miss Erin Whitehead.
Yes.
Erin is an improviser, an actor, a writer. She is the co-host of the podcast College Town, which is part of Comedy Bang Bang World.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy and I have been on it. It's an improvised podcast. It's very funny, and I was very nervous.
I think we did
okay. I don't improvise. I think we did pretty good. But she co-hosts College Town with a very funny Seth Morris. She is also a member.
Bob Duke himself.
The member of Wild Horses. This is now the third member of Wild Horses we've had on the show.
Warren Lapkus. Stephanie Allen.
And now, Erin Whitehead.
Roll it. Erin, I'm very excited to talk to you because there's so much. First of all, I know very little about you. So there's one thing. You're our friend.
Right.
We've known you for years now, and yet I know almost nothing about your life.
You say years with an S. I think that's because you're very plugged into improv. Like, I knew Erin first. I mean, I knew of Erin, obviously, from Wild Horses and performing.
Well, that's what I knew, Erin.
But I think I really was like, oh, this person's fun. It was, I think, following you on Instagram and seeing your drawings,
yes.
Your artwork.
Yes.
Oh.
That's when I said, oh, she knows darkness.
By the way, can you hear Squee chewing yeah. in the background? He chews so goddamn loud.
I can't hear it, but I now want to, so I'll listen for it.
If you hear it, like a kind of like rubbery sound, it's gonna happen. Can you hear it?
Oh, I can hear it.
That was just one little crunch, really, but it's like cute. Really very there's muck bang.
There's a
crunch,
and then there's like a, like, he'll really get into it, and it gets like, I want to say a rubbery sound, but maybe
rubbery.
What would you call that? I don't know. I don't
Do you think people who have that, is it misophonia? Do you think it applies to cats and dogs? Because I would think they would think that was cute still, but maybe it's across the board.
No, I think it might ruin them.
Yeah, I think it applies to everything.
Yeah,
because like, any kind of phonia.
I wondered if it was a human thing, because I'm definitely more grossed out by humans than animals.
Well, yeah. In general, sure.
Definitely.
In general. I just watched a video of a snake eating a snail, and it's nauseating. It was very nauseating. I turned it off within about 2 seconds.
I just read a book about snails, but keep going.
And I was going to say, not as nauseating as human beings.
Yeah, I mean, what we do to the snail beforehand is truly, the snake at least just gets right to it.
Yeah.
Buttering them, we're sauteing them.
Oh, I just meant human beings in general, not just what a human being does to a snail.
Anything.
Yeah. Humans. I would rather watch a snake eat a snail than
a human
would
on
watch
their best day. Full face of makeup. I'm saying all the right things. You're like, I want to throw up.
Yes, from misophonia to misanthropy, we're covering all the misses.
All the misses.
All the misses today.
Now, Erin, I would like to know, why did you read a book about snails? And what was the book about snails?
Well, I was hoodwinked a little bit. Someone had recommended it. I'm on 900 Facebook groups. Okay. This is my age. And
this isn't your age, actually. That is like a generation or two above you.
I mean, Andy, you know I'm 73. I use a lot of product. Someone in one of my chronic illness groups had suggested this as like a book about chronic illness. Mm-hmm. And it's called The Sound of a Wild Snail Eating. And that caught my attention because I thought, great title. Mm-hmm. And it is about a woman with chronic illness, but while she's bedridden for years, somebody brings her a plant that has a little snail, and she just ends up obsessed, like watching it, and then gets all these books and reads about it. And I mean, I have to tell you, this snail mating, one of the most fascinating things I've ever read about. I would marry a snail.
Erin.
But it wasn't enough about chronic illness. So I ended up basically I read a science writing is what it was. Like, I wanted more illness.
But this woman was not a scientist of snails. She was someone who became fascinated by snails and then said, let me share the stuff that I had read from other books.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, at what point did you realize this was not the book you thought it was, and why did you continue on with the book?
Well, I was taken in at that point. I thought the writing was good. The writing was good, but I also did keep thinking, even towards the end, I was like, we'll get back, right, to the illness. We never did.
Are you always so hopeful in the face of...
I mean, Naomi, you know me. Yes, I'm such a hopeful person. I feel like if the writing's good, I'll take the ride. Had the writing been bad, I absolutely would have given up.
Wait, let's get back to snail mating.
Yeah.
What was so fascinating? What captured you about...
So different breeds mate in different ways. But one of them was... So snails are almost blind, but they use like their whole body, really. And then their little feelers to sort of like smell, taste, like they smell and taste are their main ways of figuring things out. And when they meet someone, they like touch their little tentacles, and then sometimes they'll just like glide along side by side, getting to know each other.
Wow.
And then some breeds, this is not the breed I would want to breed with were I a snail. They have these little calcium arrows, like Cupid's arrows, inside their little snail feet, and they shoot them into the other snail, and then the other snail shoots theirs back, and then they exchange calcium arrows.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly,
wait,
now
is that
I'm like,
mating, or is that just like I've
they're giving each other gifts?
I've incapacitated
Naomi,
you.
You've never given someone a calcium arrow?
It's the foreplay, and it's something. It has like their pheromones on it or something. So like the other person's like, okay, I'm into you. And sometimes it goes in and they go away.
They
no,
go, no, thank
you.
No, mm-hmm. thank you.
So wait, is it getting to know each other, or is it foreplay, or is it both?
It is. I think it's both.
Okay.
It's like, I think for us, it would be like if you were into someone and then you got close and smelled them and you were either like, oh yes, or, oh, never mind.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's not like you're on a date with someone and then you like, you know, put your finger in their butt or something.
Andrew.
I mean, I do that on a first date just to take the temperature, you know.
Yeah, it's literally to take the temperature.
I like to take an old-timey temperature right at the beginning of a date.
Yeah, right.
just to make sure they don't have COVID.
Exactly.
That's how I do it.
Exactly. You got to take someone's rectal temperature these days.
Yeah, just to start. That's hello, how are you, bend over.
They're going
to
lie about it. They're going to lie about their temperature.
Yeah, they will. I say, get over my lap. Let's get this done.
And then we can order some apps.
Yeah.
Then we can order some appetizers for the table. Erin, I'm curious. Well, because it's funny.
Love when you pivot.
Well, because what's funny, because like, we do know Erin, but then at the same time, there's always a time when I'm like, something about having someone on recorded media, I go, now I can ask a bunch of questions.
I am the same way. I'm oddly more comfortable with a microphone. I am excited because I feel like we're new friends and this is a different level. So yes, anything. Ask me
I know
anything.
We can dig deep. What I wanted to know is like, okay, you're from the California area originally.
No.
Okay, great.
End of interview. Naomi's disengaged now.
This is why I have to ask these questions, because I don't be knowing. Because I hear information, and then I was like, wait. But then I was like, Virginia? But then I was like, that doesn't seem right either.
No, and please, I don't remember anyone's like geographic history.
Erin, can we guess? We're going to guess every state.
No, yes, not
guess everything. Guess all the states I've lived in. That's
Where you're from. Now, I don't think Southern. You don't strike me as Southern.
Okay.
You strike me more as like a cold-blooded Protestant.
Wow. Okay.
Go on.
Not from demeanor. Not from demeanor. I'm just saying, if I had to pick you out of a lineup and someone's like, you know, pick the wasp, I would be like, Erin.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. You definitely could be giving a waspy, could be giving Nancy Myers. Yeah. Totally.
I want to say.
Wow. Okay.
If you rocked caftans, do you know what I mean? Like if you were wearing Eileen Fisher.
Yes.
You could use the word summer as a verb, and I would be like, absolutely, she does.
Oh, God. I hope I get to a rich point where I can use summer as a verb.
I know. Using nouns as verbs, that's how you know somebody is moneyed.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Except journal. I can't stand when people say, I'm going to go journal. I'm going to journal in my journal. No, you're not. You're going to write. Okay, keep going. Keep going. Keep guessing.
So I said California, and you said no. Then I said Virginia, you said no. But
I don't think Southern. I want to say like Washington or Oregon.
No. Is that right? No.
No.
Okay, I'm going to say.
You guys have like 46 left.
I know, but I know it's like not the middle. Not the middle. I think
listeners, do you find this compelling? Us just guessing.
New Hampshire sounds wild, but there's also something about you because like you do seem to like to be outside and like nature.
Vermont,
but not Vermont because I know
Maine.
No,
even though there is family in Maine. Okay, there is family in Maine. You
there's
do go there.
In Maine. Yeah,
you know what? I don't want to keep saying states. You have to tell us.
Okay, originally Massachusetts, but
New Hampshire.
But did live in the South in North Carolina.
What? So you start off in Massachusetts. Until what age?
So you became a carpetbagger, basically, is what you're saying.
Do you, like a carpet salesman?
No. You're a northerner who went down south to make your fortune.
Oh, great term. Didn't know it. Delete this. We moved from Massachusetts when I was 6 to Altadena, California.
See? Okay. So when I say Erin.
Well, you said you're right. I did live here, but I thought we were talking like originally.
But you have formative years here in California.
You're right. I think when I hear from, I go to the first.
That's fine, but I just need the record to show that I wasn't totally off. That means that I have been listening when we talk.
Yes, you're right. No, I do. It is a hard thing. Like when people say, where are you from? It doesn't matter.
Are you a military kid?
No. When my dad died when I was 5 and my mom moved us when I was 6 to California to be closer to her parents. And then we ended up moving to North Carolina. We're there for a few years, moved to Ojai, California.
Back to California.
So you're okay.
Back
so you're,
to California. I know. Now I feel terrible. I should have just said yes and we could have avoided this whole conversation.
No,
like, what are we doing?
You buried the lead. Okay,
I guess I did.
Did you go to North Carolina because you guys were fans of Superchunk and Merge Records? What was going on in North Carolina?
Merge Records.
Do you know, we didn't know anybody there. I think my mom wanted like a change. And it's a beautiful state.
Yeah.
I think it never really felt like home to us. Like,
sure. You didn't know anyone there. And there was nothing holding
and it was like
you
the
there.
Late 80s, early 90s. So it was like, we had a neighbor that like flew the Confederate flag. Like it was just not what we were.
Mm-hmm.
used to. And so then we moved to Ojai where we did know people. And this was before Ojai was what it is now. It was not celebrities. It was not like the place to be every weekend. It was a small town that was like a lot of new agey artist people. And then also a lot of like weird, I don't even know how to put this in the best way, like cowboy trashy.
Sure. Yeah.
What do you mean? Wait,
cowboy trashy.
What's cowboy trashy?
Like they didn't actually have horses, but they dressed like cowboys and they were kind of trashy.
What do you mean by okay, by trashy?
What do you
mean? Andy,
they were hated. They like did not like women and they were like shitty to girls. Like, and they're like,
yeah, like
have
drunk all the time.
Lassos without a horse. Yeah, drunk all the time.
Yeah.
Sitting
so
in the back of a
cosplaying as cowboys. They basically could have gone to like a comic convention.
Sure.
Dressed like that.
Yeah, they would never have gone to a comic convention though because they were like they would have thought they were cooler than nerds despite being so many levels below. Like
no matter what you look. No matter what you dress up as, if you're just dressing up, if you're just playing make believe and you're an adult. You ain't no better than a nerd.
I know that, but I don't think that they. They would have thought comic guys were nerd. I think they thought they were cool.
Right. And I would say, if you're a cosplayer, if you're dressing up like Gambit and going to Comic-Con, you're about a billion times cooler than these freaks.
Right.
That's
right.
What I'm saying, Andy.
Cowboy cosplay.
Yes.
Now that's cosplay. Exactly what I'm saying.
So again, the Ojai you're talking about, I'm wondering then, because. Do you went to high school there?
Yes, for 9th and 10th, and then I dropped out.
You dropped out of high school?
I went to junior college. Yeah,
you did.
Wait, I did.
This is why we podcast. Because when I
this
tell you, Aaron,
is, hold on, this is why we podcast.
Because this is why we podcast.
This is why we podcast. Because like literally, if you guys knew the, I mean, quite frankly, Aaron and I already have several podcasts going in the form of voice notes that disappear. So to think that we've been voice noting for about a year, almost a year, and I'm just now finding out that you left high school to go to junior college.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go back before we hit junior college. 9th and 10th. Oh, because like I'm imagining that it's like a very small town. It's a very small school. Like, it's giving. What are we doing on Saturday night? We're sitting outside on someone's porch. Like, there's nothing to do.
We're lassoing beer bottles.
We're lassoing beer bottles.
Yeah, or we're getting lassoed by the guys. So for 9th grade, I went to a school called Happy Valley School that had 70 kids total, 9th through 12th.
Oh, God!
And it was a private boarding school, but I was not a boarding student. And my poor mom drove me, like, up this windy half-hour road every morning. And
to go to Happy Valley. It sounds dangerous.
Happy
it sounds
Valley.
Like a cult.
I know. And it was a sweet, like, it was like a sweet school. I will say it's like, it was just too small. It's like, you know how, like, friendship dynamics can be at that age. Like, I think there was a certain point in 9th grade where I just sort of ended up on the outs. And there were 13 people in my class. So that was it. Like
13 people.
We had we had to sit in a yurt every morning.
What?
And
what?
Pass around a stick and talk about like what concerns we might have or what feelings we might be having. Like, after 9th grade, I said, I think I basically said to my mom, like, I'm not loving it. And it was a private school. So she was like public school. And so I went to the public school, which weirdly was a better fit. Like, I think I liked being the weirdo who was like friends with everybody, but not in any one group. That ended up kind of being what I was.
So what was that, 80 kids?
No, that was bigger. I feel like that was like, I'm not good at, I would guess at least 1,000.
Oh, okay. So big. Okay. So that's a big old school.
Yeah. No, how many yurts?
Yeah, how much yurting were you doing there?
No yurts, but there were those, you know, like every public school in California, there were like the trailers where they hadn't like built buildings yet. So some of
you're talking to two East Coast people.
We don't know what you're saying about
we
trailers.
We have no idea what you're talking about.
Every California school at some point decided we need more classrooms. And instead of building buildings, we'll do these temporary super shitty trailers and eventually replace them. And they never do. And so you end up with these like leaky, stuffy, windowless classrooms.
Like trailers you would be in if you were on a TV show while you were waiting to go on set.
Yeah, exactly. But like bigger,
wider,
yeah.
Right? So just wider, but that kind of thing, right? Like corrugated metal.
Yeah,
like in the middle of the hot
steps.
California sun. Yes. You all just sit in there. Good God.
Yes. Yes.
That's a nightmare.
I know.
So then what was the decision then after 10th grade to go to junior college?
This is where I really question like what was going on with my, I like all my friends were older and I.
How come? How?
It's funny because like I think back then I probably was considered, people would always be like, oh, you're such an old soul. And I was talking about this with a friend recently because he was told the same thing. And both of us have the sense that maybe our souls stopped at that point because now we don't feel like old souls at right. all.
Yes.
Like I feel, in fact, quite regressed in a lot of ways. And so I don't know. But I did like being friends with older people. I was always like in a rush. Like I was like, these people are not cool enough. They don't get it. Like they're not. And I don't mean cool. Like I was so cool, but like smart. Like I had no time for the high school sort of like, I don't know. Like when my so-called life came out, there were girls who were like, and I like her. She's so introspective. And I was like, you're so dumb. Like I couldn't, I was a little bit, maybe a little bit of a bully intellectually in like a not nice way in high school. If I didn't think someone was smart, I let them know.
Really?
You don't even know how snails fuck.
Yeah. I was like, do you even know how snails fuck?
Wow. I can't imagine that. You being like, because you're such a gentle person that I couldn't imagine you like, there's one thing I get like an eye roller, like knowing someone's dumb, but letting them know is a different thing.
I think if it came off as mean, if someone was just dumb and like kind, I would never. Mm-hmm. It was when they were an asshole and I was like, you're not even smart enough to be an asshole. You know, like in a way that I probably wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. My friends would probably say I still would. Yeah. If unkindness is on the line, I'm fine to call it out.
But so like when you say older, like, so for instance, if you're a sophomore, your friends are seniors, or are we talking to like an old person who hangs out outside of the 7-Eleven?
So both. When I was 16, I dated a guy who was 29.
What?
No.
He lived in a warehouse.
Aaron.
Wait, what?
He rented a room in the back of a warehouse. He covered the walls with black velvet.
Aaron!
Embedded them with rhinestones.
Aaron.
And we would just make out to techno music.
Aaron Whitehead.
I don't even know what to.
Okay.
I'm like.
Okay.
That description gave me a headache.
It's a lot.
Aaron, hold on.
Picture me scampering through the warehouse to the front where the bathroom was, because it was a long walk through a lot of shelves of I don't know what.
What?
Wait. Hold on.
Everyone, shut the fuck up. Hold on. A warehouse.
Like
a working warehouse where people are in there like putting...
Yeah,
goods on shelves.
Items?
Are they building something as warehouse? Look, my only knowledge of warehouses are really from television. So people get in fights in warehouses, as far as I understand.
Well, this was like, I will say, I think it was used during the day, but I would hang out with him at night there. So it was like, it wasn't open anymore.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But it was shelves and shelves of like
stuff.
Of
whatever
wares.
They were selling.
Of wares that were being housed.
Yeah.
Wares were being
but
housed.
But it was fully dark. So I'm like barefoot.
But no one's building something. Did you see any acetylene torches? Was someone creating something at all ever?
I don't think it was an interesting warehouse. I think
no,
it was just,
Andrew, I have more questions.
This wasn't from Punch Drunk Love.
So my thing is, you said this room in the back of the warehouse. So like, are we talking this person is like put a mattress on the floor and is basically squatting in a warehouse?
You know, it was weird. It was very small, studio size, right? And like no bathroom in that area. Like you literally had to walk all the way through to the bathroom. He had a very big music setup. Like I think he liked to do a lot of like, I don't know, mixing of things, mixing of sounds. I don't know what.
Sure.
There was a double bed that was actually a bed. Okay. There was a couch. There was not much else. I mean, it was small.
But okay, now how long did this last, Aaron?
Not long. It was like it lasted a few months. I remember we hung out with one of his friends at one point, and his friend was just like, he was like losing his mind. He was like, she has braces. What are you doing? She looks like your daughter. This is insane. And like, that's the sane guy, by the way. Like, I should have known. At the time, I was like, I'm just so mature that like, that's why he likes me. Like, no, he was so fucked up that he went for a 16-year-old with braces. Like
you're saying, I'm so mature as you are cleaning food out of your braces.
You're flossing, right. Using your floss spreaders.
Yeah. As like, I'm eating with like my hand in front of my mouth.
I'm gonna get a retainer soon. I don't know why out of 16 you sound like you're 8.
Oh wow. So
okay, hold on. Can you take us through this relationship, because I just want to know how it started and how it ended.
Yeah, I want to know where you meet a character like this.
Yeah, so I was in a theater company in Ojai that was like an adult theater company, and I was like the only teen in it. Mm-hmm. And he came to a show that one of his friends was in the company, so she was like 26. Mm-hmm. And he came to see her, saw me, and I mean, listen.
No.
See, okay. Aaron Whitehead on stage. It's
Were you
all
playing Puck?
Over.
It's all
I was
over.
Playing Puck. No, it was a Shanley play. It was a John Patrick Shanley play.
Oh.
Oh, this is where I got my I need to stop saying at. I just learned recently that when people say their Twitter handles, they don't say at first. Which I have been saying since 2009. So I'm just now learning that this isn't normal. Okay. Girl with a Tail is my Twitter. And during this play, at one point, I had to play the voice of a mermaid. It's like there's like a short, it's a Shanley short where this guy falls in love with a mermaid who lives in Central Park. And the director was like, I want you to play it really ethereal. And I was like, no, Craig, she's just a girl with a tail. She lives in New York City. Like, she would not be ethereal. She's in the fucking Central Park.
Yeah.
She's just a girl with a tail.
Hey, I'm swimming here.
So yeah,
so that's you, a girl with a tail.
So he's enthralled,
or he hears your voice.
He sees you treading the boards. He's enthralled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was like short. It was like one act. So I was in a couple of the other ones. So he saw me, and then we talked after, and yeah.
Oh, that's worse actually. You know, that's much worse because what I thought you were going to say is that he was in the theater company, and then that way there was some sort of sense of familiarity or working together or getting to know.
No.
But no, he actually saw a 16-year-old with braces.
Yes.
And said, let's have a conversation.
I got two tickets to Ministry. Yes. You want to go see him?
Yeah. Okay. And I looked so young. I mean, I would get carded for R-rated movies even when I was like 21. Like I was not an old 16. Yeah.
Right.
Did you ever think, by the way, you said you were an old soul and now you're not an old soul? What if you have a bunch of souls fighting for dominance within you?
That's what it feels like. I mean, I will absolutely. That's what it feels like. Internal family systems. Maybe it's internal family systems.
So now, as you're going through this, right, you're 16, and we don't have to harp on this again. You're here. You're not talking about this like this is, like broken you or shattered you. But yeah. I am just curious how, because I've never been in that kind of, you know, age disparity. And like, certainly but at the same time, I know like when I was 16, like I wanted to be in love. You know what I mean? And I was like so into like romance and boyfriends. And, like, that I think that if somebody older was interested in me, I think I would have been all in. Do you know what I mean? Like, and so I guess I'm wondering, but at the same time, like, that is not an appropriate age gap. And the question of sort of, how does that then shape what you think relationships are? How did it eventually, like, for instance, as you said, when you're sitting there and his friend is like, what the hell is going on? You were like, nah, but like, I'm cool.
I think I was of two minds though, because I sort of also knew, you know, like there was a piece of me that like, it's not like I thought his friend was crazy. I was sitting there being like, I know exactly what you're seeing. But then this little piece of me was like, but I'm just so special. Like, I think we all grew up on like, I think I think this relationship probably less than like what I grew up watching informed everything, because I think about this so often, but it's like the 90s movies or 90s shows that I grew up watching. It's like the guy will be just the worst player, like cheating on girlfriends, everything. But then in the movie, the girl he ends up with is like so chill and so cool that she changes him.
Right.
And that I think is what fucked me up more than like with him. I was more like, I fell out of my realm. He luckily wasn't like pressuring. We didn't have sex. Mm-hmm. And he didn't not pressure me to have sex. So that was great. Like, cause that would have also in that warehouse been a terrifying thing.
Yeah, no.
Right.
No,
and, you know, bad. In the 90s, we all saw 6 seasons of Warehouse Lover. So,
Yeah.
So that could have really affected, you know, that could have really pushed you towards a.
I mean, I'm lucky that he was not grosser than I mean, he was like gross at the level of dating me in the first place, but at least he wasn't like a super bad guy. But no, I think it was everything I watched, because I think for years, And sadly, I think even in recent years, I have somehow just not been able to see guys I'm friends with as the person I should be with. Like, I think when I was younger, I just was like, no, you're not what I've learned is what I go for. Mm-hmm. I love to spend time with you. We get along. I'm myself with you, so we cannot be together. And then, like in more recent years, I think I would have those people and be like, oh God, like with my chronic illness stuff and like other issues, like I can't put this on you. Let me go for somebody far lower who will be terrible.
Right. Who will not be able to meet your needs.
Yeah. And that has been the last couple, and they obviously have not been great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know that now, or do you think you had that awareness going in?
I think there were ones where I was like kidding myself, if that makes sense. Like I think initially I always knew, but I would go in going, this will just be fun. It's like, you know, and I had a therapist once who was like, date people to practice. I think this is terrible, terrible advice, at least for someone like me, because I get attached even if I don't like someone,
same.
Which is a really unfortunate thing. I think I've started reading about attachment stuff, and now I'm like, well, now I get it. This would have been helpful. And like also that therapist should have known about attachment stuff, I think. But I can go into something like knowing who somebody is, knowing that they're not really for me. And within a couple months, I'm like, I will die if they leave. And it's not them. I'm not happy with them. They're not, I'm not my best self. It's not like I even want, I'm considering breaking up with them the whole time, but the idea of them leaving is like, I'll die.
Yeah.
I'll be abandoned. So that's where my attachment stuff is.
Yeah.
And I have not dated in like in the recent. Yeah.
So your attachment style is just like Velcro.
I think it's called anxious avoidant.
Interesting. Cause you're away, but cause you are you won't engage because. Is to like really want that
person. And maybe I'm wrong. So I will say I like downloaded an attachment book and I'm 10 pages in. So listen, I'm not.
Okay, so it's not as good as that book about snails fucking. Okay, because that's what we're noticing. Because she said I can only get through 10 pages.
It's not holding my interest, okay? The prose isn't great. I know I forget. I know anxious is one of the parts that I am. It's the fear of being abandoned that makes you cling as opposed to like... Mm-hmm. being secure with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I'll let you know when I finish the book.
Okay, please do. Please do.
So this is what attachment style is. I've heard guests talk about this before.
Well, look, Aaron's only read 10 pages of a book, and I don't think you should be hearing this and going, so that's it? I mean, we're only getting a bit and a piece.
But you even talked about it. I was just like, I just shrugged and I'm like, all right, I won't ask what this is. I'll just sit and listen. And maybe.
And Andy, wait, you do EMDR, right?
Yes, not recently. Recently, I've just been screaming at my therapist.
Like, oh, that's a nice...
Explain reality to me. Please explain how I'm supposed to live in this. Please do it. Because Naomi got a writing job, so she's out. So I don't feel constrained during my therapy anymore to have to be quiet. So I can now scream at my therapist.
How does your therapist take it? Like, do you have someone who's like can really be that person to be screamed at and give it back?
She is a stoic Russian,
exactly. So I'm not yelling at her, but I am just
you're not yelling at her, but you're venting to her.
Yes.
So I was doing it, and she keeps being like, we should maybe get back to the EMDR, and I'm just like, I need you to tell me that I am crazy. You just tell me, and then we can move from there, but just tell me I'm crazy, that reality isn't fucked. And she refuses to, so.
That's interesting. I just started with a new therapist, and I did like do the consults with a few before that, and I'm shocked by who can become a therapist.
Honey, you know what? Because so much of this, honey, it's about, I could learn something from books and pass tests that would then lead me to get a certification. Do you know what I mean? Like, you just have to like, and then, the question of like whether you work with patients, obviously you have to do your hours of training with patients. I'm not saying that the therapists don't do their training, but then who is deciding if you're like, quote unquote, good or not? Like, how do we even define good in therapy? Because it's not something you graduate from. And it's like, well, now I'm good. Now I'm healed.
The spirit of Freud comes down and deigns, you know, puts a ghostly hand on their head and says, You no longer have the Oedipus complex. I don't know what...
Uh-huh, that was good.
That went into French. Good. Started German a little bit. Went right into French. Was is just, this is... So this is more like what Freud should be, but more Nazi-ish. Okay. Anyway. Let's move on.
Since we're in our therapy, we're kind of talking about our approach and stuff. Do you want to talk...
Wait, can we...
I want to talk about the new one. I want to see
yeah,
what made...
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that's where like, I was going. I was like, let's not...
No. What? Like, no, listen. What made you decide? You said you just started with a new person. What made you decide to find a new person? And kind of when you said you had a couple consults with people, what were you looking for, you know, as you kind of chatted?
So I had been seeing a therapist from like, I saw her from like maybe 2015 to 2018, went back in 2020 because I was having a true and utter breakdown. And
why? What happened in 2020?
Well, what's funny is, Andy, separate stuff from the goddamn pandemic, but the pandemic was the underlying. And so I was like, I don't know who I am or what is happening. And I'm fully fucking gone is what I felt like. And so I was like, I had moved on from the past therapist before thinking like, I just want to find someone who's like, maybe just a different technique. Cause I felt like I had kind of gotten to the end of where I could with her. Mm-hmm. But come 2020, I was like, if I start with someone new, I will have to explain who I used to be. I needed to see someone who knew my base. Uh-huh. And like truly within one session, she was like, you have PTSD. And I was like, okay, that makes sense to what I'm feeling. Like it's like I left the building is what I felt like.
Do you mind if we ask what was going on outside of society crumbling?
I found in 2018, I started getting just crazy symptoms. Like I got fatigued so bad that I could barely lift my head off the couch. My brain fog was so bad. I couldn't read at all. I couldn't comprehend. I would be halfway through a sentence and it's just gone. And I mean, that shit happens to everybody all the time. But in a way, this was in a way and so constant that I would just give up. Like I'd start to say something like, it's so good to see you. I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know what I was going to say. Like just fully gone. Mm-hmm. Like, and there, I knew I would never catch the thought. It wasn't like trying to think of a word. And, I developed psoriasis, which is like a skin autoimmune condition. I'd never had any autoimmune before. I'd had IBS before and it turned to IBD. And so I like lost like 20 pounds. Rashes all over my body, weird stuff. And then I kept going to doctors and it was terrifying too, because like I truly had no idea why it was all happening. And doctors are so calm that they're like, yeah, it's a little weird. I'll do a test. And I'm like, I need you to be Dr. House.
Yeah.
I said that to a doctor and she hated it, but I'm sure they hear that. I'm sure they hear that a lot, but I was out of my mind and they would tell me to come back in a month and I'd come back in a week because I was really like, I need you to know this isn't.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, this isn't me. I can't explain to you. I've had the flu. I've been sick. This isn't, I've never felt like this before.
Right.
Cut to this just kind of keeps going on. The week, I think it was like March 5th or March 6th, around there of 2020, I find out I have black mold in my apartment. And I start apartment hunting. And like a few days later, and then my mom says, well, why don't you come stay with me for a little bit while you're apartment hunting? Because at this point, the mold was making me so sick that I would like write down what apartments to see and then I'd get confused. And I'd drive to see them and I would be like, I'd get lost even with the GPS. Like my brain was swollen.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, why don't you come stay with me while you look? The day I got to her was the day the quarantine began. And I end up like spending the next year and a half staying within her little back room for a while apartment hunting in the pandemic. So I'm in a mask with like absolute wild managers and owners who like some don't believe in COVID, some like they just give you a key, you can go look at it, great, that's great. But I didn't know at this point that I had PTSD, and so I was like hyperventilating, crying on the way to see every single place. I'm like looking at the ceiling and swearing like I can like that I'm seeing mold.
Yeah.
And in some places I was, like some places you see like literal water damage and like, but I was just in my old place where it was, all the water damage was like up in the popcorn ceiling, mm-hmm. which I've learned since is like why they put those in apartments, is they can sag down and then shrink back up and you won't see the damage. It's so gross, but
as you're talking, by the way, I'm just looking around our apartment.
We don't have popcorn, but honey, trust me, there's probably mold in these walls. I mean, I'll tell you that right now.
I mean, your place looks very lovely.
I'll show you behind some curtains, literally, okay? Because you know I told you about our leak situation.
I know. You have leaks around a window, right? So
they're fixed now.
It's no longer leaking, but I was like, whatever water has come in over time is in that wall. So, you know, I'm like, it's in the wall. I was like, it's just there. Because, like, where else does it have to go?
But does it automatically make black mold? Could it make other kinds of mold or no mold?
Well, mold is never good.
It could make no mold if there's like enough space in there that there was like air, or if when they fixed it, they replaced any of the material. I don't know what they did when they fixed it.
We have to schedule that. They have not yet.
Yeah.
Have no symptoms of anything.
Well,
we have no symptoms.
You and I voice note. You know, I'm a walking symptom.
Yes, but you have no symptoms that are linked.
Don't know. Would you leave me be?
I will say anxiety is linked to mold. So just an FYI.
The headaches, the body pain. The chronic headaches. Yes.
My parents were made of mold then.
I know. Well, it is. That was like one of the most annoying things too, is like when you try to explain to somebody the symptoms you're having, they will always go to mental illness. And I'm like, mm-hmm. no, I had that. I have that as a base. This right. is worse. This right. is different. But anyway, so I spent most of the pandemic either subletting places that then I had, like, I'd be in there for a month. And you know, the market in LA, I was apartment hunting sick with no job. During a pandemic, and I'd show up, and if I could afford it, that meant 100 other people showed up.
Yeah.
Or couples showed up with like dual incomes, and right. I'm like, I'm not working. I have like 3 months rent of savings, like whatever. And then I finally got into a place, and then the people sold it 9 months later. Ugh. And I think that's when I like had another full break right. and like moved into the place I'm in now, but it was like under duress. It was like, I didn't want to move. Mm-hmm. I again was applying to places within my price range, did not get them because I was up against so many applicants. Mm-hmm. Spent maybe $1,000 in rental applications over the course of it.
Oh my God.
Which is fully illegal. Like I always pass them and then they just go with somebody else and like you have nothing, there's nothing you right. can do. Yeah.
Right.
What do they do with that money? Is it actually used to
they pocket it.
Run a credit check? No. I don't think it even I mean, can't you do credit checks for free?
Are you all telling me that landlords do scummy things? This is really eye-opening.
But anyway, that's all the stuff that was going on, and then add the pandemic and being sick from mold. So I've always been stressed by moving, but having to move that much under those circumstances was bad.
Yeah.
Bad.
And this made you want to do therapy, all of this.
Yeah, this made me go back to my old therapist. And I would have like my session, because I was staying with my mom, I would like drive somewhere and I would just park on the street and have a session in the car, which I actually didn't mind.
Oh.
It was kind of an easy.
Yeah, during the quarantine phase, I would go out to the car to do therapy. On my phone, so that because Naomi and I were so tight in the beginning.
Well, I think it started because I made a joke tweet. I tweeted as a joke, like I was like something about like basically like tell me not to listen to my husband's therapy session. You know, something like jokey about the fact that I could hear it. But then literally, I put that up, and Andy was like, "I'm gonna be outside." And it was like, "Oh, okay, I was joking, but I understand."
Even the idea that like there's a possibility of being hurt, you know, like I probably could have been in the back room and my mom would have been very respectful and not like tried to listen. But I was just like, I know I need to know that like there's no possibility. Absolutely. And you can scream in a car. I do it. Yeah.
You can. Hey, look, if there's one lesson, listeners, you get out of this episode, you can scream in a car. You can scream in a car, and you can scream in a car, and you can scream in a car.
Do you ever scream in a car, and then the next day you're like, why does my throat hurt? Do I have COVID? And I'm like, oh, no. I was simply screaming.
No, that's never. I'm not that free with my emotions. So,
except with your therapist.
Except I'm getting there. Hey, you know what? I am getting to the point where I can just be like, hey, just be honest with me for a sec. Stop being this kind of Freudian blank wall and just tell me what you think.
Yeah.
I think that would frustrate me. Do you feel frustrated by it?
Yes, but I think it's on purpose. I think that's, you know, I think she does come out of that kind of Freudian school where there is this, you are supposed to have this kind of, at times, adversarial relationship with your therapist. And you're supposed to just see whatever emotions come up. And she does not talk about herself. She does not really give me, and I don't ask her. I don't want to put that on her in the first place. Yeah. But there are some points where I do, I'm just like, just tell me I'm wrong. If you can tell me I'm wrong, I'll stop with this. And she doesn't. So either I'm right, or she truly just will not say anything.
Does she show compassion? Like if you were to say this thing that happened to me and I'm so upset by it, would she ever say like, That sounds so hard. That sounds like it was so hurtful.
Yeah, but it's robotic. Like I'm like, I don't need the fake empathy. It's the same thing like when like a stranger tells you something.
Fake empathy.
And you go, oh, that sounds tough. Like when you can't muster up the, like, I don't know, Aaron, tell me.
I only do that with a crazy stranger though. I think I can muster empathy for a stranger if it's true. Like if I'm like, oh, that really does sound bad.
Yeah, I guess in my head it feels fake a lot of times, and I think in reality I'm such a good actor that I can fake it, and it sounds genuine. Mm-hmm. 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 But in my own soul, I know it's hollow. So it feels fake to me. I don't know. Tell me something awful, like fake awful, right now, and I'll see if I can empathize with you and see if it sounds real.
Okay. My friend's snail ate its snail partner.
See, that doesn't actually sound, I'm like, oh wow, that's, I guess that's bad.
You want something really awful?
Yeah.
Okay. my friend's boyfriend died tragically. He crossed the street getting her a coffee and was hit, and his daughter watched the whole thing happened.
Jesus Christ.
Well, you said to go real.
Jesus, that sounds awful.
No, but not real. That didn't really happen.
No,
that didn't happen.
Thank God. I'm really sorry that your friend went through that.
Went through?
That is the Andy, you're not a good actor. I'm so sorry.
What?
Tell that to Mr. Steven Spielberg, who cast me in The Fablemans as John Ford. And it was only because of scheduling that I didn't get to do it. And David Lynch did it.
Oh, because of scheduling. I was cast, but I actually couldn't do it because of scheduling.
Sorry your friend went through that.
Was it that so robotic? Hold on. Let's try this again. Give me one more thing. Pretend that it happened to you. Say it's happened to you. So I have a connection
God. Okay. Andy, I was crossing the street to get you a coffee and I got hit by a car.
What?
Yeah. I'm never going to walk again.
Oh, jeez. Now I feel bad that you were getting the coffee for me.
Of course you're making it about you. Of course you are.
That's the way he's able to connect. That's the way he's able to tap in. You know, he's like, how is this about me? And then I can really bring some real emotion forth. You know what? Somehow we got this to become an improv podcast, which means we have to take a break because we've got to help people help themselves. Okay.
Okay. When we get back, we're going to answer your advice questions.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
And we're back with Erin Whitehead here to help you handle your scandal, Erin.
Okay, that's the part I was excited for.
Okay, wait. So, yes, before we started recording, you were like, I listened to the show and there are things I'm curious about how it happened. What was the thing you were curious about?
You guys land the "and we're back" so perfectly every time that I, A, thought it was pre-recorded possibly.
Ah, no. Oh, wow.
But in my mind, what happens is that you guys both drop down from the ceiling, land in your seats at the same time and say, and we're back, because that's the energy. It's so fun. Yeah. I love it so much.
Thank you. Thank you. But yes, no, it's just we
saw it.
We say we're going to take a break and then there's a beat.
It's a rhythm. You feel the rhythm in your your heart.
Yes, we're the Gloria Estefans of podcasting.
Hattie, the rhythm's going to get you.
It's going to get you.
It's going to get you. It's right behind you. It's watching you sleep.
You better protect yourself because that rhythm is going to get you. It's going to flay you alive. You're going to be a skeleton after the rhythm gets you. I'm warning you. Please, everyone, take precautions. The rhythm is going to get you.
Oh, God.
Eric, can I also say, I was thinking of this earlier when I was imagining a conversation with you. That's what I do. Before I talk to anyone,
I visualize.
I'm like, oh, what will this be like? It's never exactly what it is. But you have introduced us to our favorite unit of measurement that we still use.
That's true.
A grandpa.
Oh, a grandpa.
How far away something is measured in grandpas.
And a grandpa is defined, you guys, as 6 feet.
Six feet. A grandpa is 6 feet.
Right.
So and I got this from my mom, who also imagines things in terms of her dad, which is my grandpa.
Your grandpa. Okay.
So this is how all measurements start, right? Yeah. Think about it, right?
Yeah.
If you go back to ancient times, it's all just based on, like a hand or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I want this to become a real measurement. I want people in the future to be like, hey, can you pick me up? It won't be long. You know, I'm just like 300 grandpas from you.
Yeah. Or I'm like, this table's like half a grandpa.
Yeah.
I literally laid down across our coffee table because I was like, that's not a grandpa way. And I laid down and it is like five. It was like, 3 feet. It was like a little over 3 feet. I was like, okay, it's half a grandpa.
It's always surprising to me too, because when I actually see what it is shorter than I imagine. I think 6 feet seems so tall. And then I'm like, I'm 5'6". It's not that much taller than me.
Yeah. Or also just like, in terms of a distance away, 6 feet's not that far away. Like Mabel's leash is a grandpa.
Yeah, when you showed me that, I was like, that can't be.
No, Mabel's leash is a grandpa. Reacher? A reacher is bigger than a grandpa.
A reacher. Okay, are you a grandpa away or are you a reacher away?
Wait, what's... Oh, like Jack Reacher?
Yes.
Okay, I thought we were talking about...
Alan Richson, who plays Jack Reacher.
I don't know why I immediately went to like a citrus picker.
Oh, something you use, one of those like claws.
Yeah, like a reacher.
Oh.
Like for, you know how old people or like short people, I guess, have like you can get something at. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know what that's actually called. Probably a grabber. Yeah.
A grabber.
Ooh, grabber versus reacher. Season 3. Amazon, make it so. We get questions from all over. We get questions from Instagram, Twitter, and actually not so much Twitter anymore. We get questions mostly from Instagram, Gmail, and of course our favorite voicemail. Although, folks, if you use Twitter and you DM us, We'll get there. So, Naomi, if people want to leave a voicemail, which is our favorite, what is that number?
323-524-7839. Remember, honey, start with your pronouns in a log line in case you get cut off. But you shouldn't get cut off because you have a 3-minute limit. If you can't tell me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in 3 minutes, so help you God.
I should say, you know what? Someone, I was listening to a potential one for today that we're not going to use, but I was listening to a potential one and they're like, this is much more difficult than I thought it would be. Try this. Write out little bullet points of what you want to say beforehand.
Mm. Write out your bullet points.
Because they were on their third try.
Oh, and we're not playing it?
No.
Oh, that's sad.
Because I think on the third try, they still didn't even get to it.
Yeah, that's rough.
So I was like, I was debating. I'm like, well, do we have the gist of it? And then I'm like, not. So
or they got to call the Micro Machines guy and be like, say this as fast as you can.
No, don't.
Me.
Don't.
There was a guy who called into Sarah Silverman's podcast the other day, and it was like the audio version of manspreading. I've never heard someone. It was an I swear he did it intentionally. He was like, hey, Sarah.
Oh, no.
So, and I just.
I wouldn't have played it. I wouldn't have played it. You can't reward that kind of behavior.
No. So, Naomi, do you want to read this first one? This comes to us anonymous. Is that right? From Gmail?
Yeah. Hey, Andy, Naomi, guest and pets. TLDR, how do I get my tastiest atheist partner to sign up for a credit card? I'm a she, her. He's a he, him. Thank you very much for this. We've been together more than 5 years with a six-month break earlier in 2023. We're currently long distance, but the goal is to move back in with each other once I find a graphic design job that lets me leave Ron DeFascist's hellhole, a.k.a. Florida. Mm. We've kept our finances completely separate, and it's worked for us, but my partner only has a debit card. This wouldn't, and maybe doesn't matter, but there have been numerous instances when something's been wrong with the card, causing him to lose access to his funds and be left scrambling. To paint a picture, a couple years ago, his card and computer stopped working the day I needed an emergency appendectomy. It was one of those when it rains, it pours situation, and he needed a laptop, food, and a way to pay for my post-op meds. I had to hand my credit card over to him while I was in a hospital bed pre-op. It took about a week for his new card to come in, so he used my card for interim needs, including an unexpected trip to the vet.
For himself?
Maybe for himself. He's a developer, and at the time was working on COVID testing software, so his laptop need was urgent. He makes good money, and he paid me back in full once he got his bank situation sorted. But.
Capital letters, but.
He refuses to get a credit card, even when less extreme variations happen at least twice a year. He says he's nervous about ruining his credit, losing track of how much he's spending, and forgetting to pay his bills. He's got ADD, for context. I try to tell him there's automatic bill pay, but his biggest concern, it seems, is with the budgeting aspects. I want to be patient and understanding, but I'm a first-gen AAPI gal, and he's a white man who grew up comfortable.
Spelled W-H-Y-D-E. M at symbol N.
A white man who grew up comfortable. Cough, a little wealthy. Cough. I think he believes he'll be fine no matter what, but I'm standing over here like, what if there's an emergency and you aren't with someone who'll let you borrow their card? It feels brazen for him to test his luck with just the debit card. Do you have any advice on how I can broach this topic successfully and maybe even convince him to get a credit card? Conversely, am I wrong for wanting to ask this? Would love your perspectives all around. I love my partner, but this money stuff stresses me out and puts a bit of a damper on thinking about the future. Love you all.
A. Not anonymous, A.
P.S. Thanks for all you do and all you are. Couples therapy has been a real buoy doing some hella choppy C's. P.P.S. Attaching the pic of the animal who needed the vet visit. He's fine. His butt glands just get backed up at inconvenient times.
Sure.
P.P.P.S. Sorry that this is long. I read all the P.S.'s, so it couldn't have been that long. Because this also gave us detail, actually, that I really appreciate.
They've painted a picture.
She's painted a very clear picture.
Call her Frida Kahlo.
Because she's painted a sexual picture. Now. Thoughts, Erin, thoughts.
I mean, interesting. I'm my brain kind of stuck to that we took a six-month break earlier in 2023 and now we're moving in. So, like, I'm sort of... I'm curious about that. Obviously, we can't ask them. So I guess I have to just... let me put a little pin in that. But I do think if you're making good money, and good for him for, you know, making COVID software, what does that mean? I don't know. But I think if your partner is stressed by having to loan you their card, you have your answer. You need to get a fucking credit card. Like, I hear
she's gotta
the fear.
Just ask him. She has to just ask him to get the card.
Yeah, and explain that, like, her loaning hers to him. Am I using the right pronouns? I missed them at the beginning.
Yes.
Yes, her card to him.
Just making sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. is like a stress for her, because right now he's saying, I'm too stressed to get a card. I'll let you be stressed.
Right.
And loan me a card. So it's like she's the one taking on the stress that he's afraid of feeling. And I do think there's many ways around this. Like, I have a fear of going into debt as well, as so do many people. But I think, like, A, it actually improves your credit score to mm-hmm. have a credit card. Mm-hmm. So that's like an argument she could use.
Yep.
And I feel like, just, you know, wrap a piece of paper around it and make yourself write down everything you buy as you use it. Like, be annoying about it. Be like, this credit card is wrapped in a piece of paper and I have to write down the things I spent. Like, don't use it for everything if it stresses you out. Great. Just use it for big things. Like, hide it from yourself and have it be an emergency credit card if you want it to be that and you don't mm-hmm. want to use it all the time. But, like, come on, that there's not a way around it. Of course there is.
Exactly. I was going to say, first of all, you know, I think sitting with him and also, and just especially because what you're saying, because they've been together over 5 years. So it's like, this is a long-term relationship. But I do think that part of why that you have to have this conversation is it's because you're about to live together, because you're about to merge finances, if for nothing else, paying rent. Right? Like, that person, he's gonna have to, like, give you rent money. Like, even if you were to handle it, it would still be like, okay, send me the part that's yours. Like, you know, this person, once you live together and start taking care of bills, this isn't just about a credit card, it is about money in general. Meaning, you're with somebody who doesn't know how to manage it or is afraid to manage it, largely because they grew up not having much of an awareness of money, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because she's saying he grew up wealthy. And basically, his thing is like, okay, I have what's in my debit and I just spend what's in my debit, and not understanding that, like, you know, first of all, you can get a card. Not only is there automatic bill pay, I also think you should sit down with him. A card that has a very low limit. Getting him a card
that's like $60.
$60 limit. But, like, you can get credit cards that are $1,500 or $2,000 that, like, you could not go spend any more than that.
Right.
And it's like, and as you said, I think too, to me, it's like, it's about emergencies. It is, okay, my debit card's not working, probably because you swiping it all the time and they thinking you done got robbed. Because, you know, the bank will be like, there's too much going on with this one debit. It's someone on a spree. But it's like,
they're paying for an appendectomy. They're paying for anal glands at a vet.
Yeah. They're like, who is this person?
They bought a Nintendo Switch. Someone stole this card.
And then it's also about protection too, because again, if you lose your debit card, you don't want to lose all your money. Like, if you lose a credit card, you can at least shut that down. Whereas, like, you know,
yeah, I pay for everything with a credit card, pay that off at the end of the month.
Right.
And that way, because it's happened before, someone stole my credit card numbers from something.
Mm-hmm.
Probably from one of these Los Angeles parking meters. I bet that there was something on there. Watch out, everyone.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
There's more
at the gas station.
Gas station I've heard of. Yeah, parking meter, I'm like, what are we going to do? Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point is that I called and I got whatever the person bought on my card taken off and they sent me a new card. Whereas if someone stole my debit card, they would just.
Yeah, the money's just gone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that $60 is out.
No, but I think, you know, because again, the question is like, how can I broach it successfully? And am I wrong for wanting to ask for this? No, you're not at all. I think what you're saying is, hey, if we're going to be living together and we're a unit, I need you to have my back as much as I have yours. And that includes spotting or covering in a financial emergency. Because you just gave us an example wherein he was out and you were able to hook him up and help him out until then, which... Again, it's because we're saying that you have no problem doing that. You're not saying that you're not going to be there. But what you also want is to know that he can and would reciprocate. And he currently is not set up to do that for you.
Yeah.
Because of his situation. He couldn't give you something and say, okay, go grab what you need. Or, oh, like, you know, let's say you get mugged and you've got nothing. And then he's like, oh, I just have my debit card with me. Hold on. Let me see if I can get to an ATM. Or he gets locked out or something like that. And I think part of this conversation has to be in the lead up. As you said, you're planning to move in together. You've been together a long time, so it's not like you're trying to cut and run. So it's like, that I think is what you have to tie the conversation to. If we're going to be a unit like this, and then also if he complains, it's like, you can even come, hey, I found 3 credit cards with low limits, and I can help you set up automatic bill pay, if that's what you're really worried about. Because I can understand not wanting to overspend, but it's also like, sir, you're grown. You got to learn how to do this. And you do it by putting on training wheels and guardrails, which is like a low limit, and making it so that you're not spending too much. And like, you'll have perfect credit. You'll end up with the best credit of everyone.
You can overspend with a debit and just go in end up just overdrawing anyway. So it's it's I put everything. I'm the same as you, Andy. I put everything on one credit card because I like to be able to see literally everything I've bought, from like gas to food to stupid things on Amazon, like in one place. It stresses me out to be like sometimes the debit, sometimes cash, sometimes credit card. I'd much rather see it all in one list, which I think is like, if you, especially if he's saying he has ADD, I feel like that's a like consolidate, be like everything I've ever bought is in one list every month.
Yeah. I'm gonna suggest something that's a little out of left field. What if you put ransomware on his computer?
Sure.
And you will give him the password to get it off once he gets a credit card.
No working, no software developing until you handle it.
So if you guys are in different states at the moment, you just, I'm not sure how it works, but I'm sure you get him to, you put it in a email, you get him to open it up, and that installs it on his computer.
Yeah.
I think that's how it works.
Yeah.
At least that's how it works on TV. Again, I've seen ransomware on TV. I've seen warehouses on TV. I'm not sure what it's all like in reality, but try that.
Raised by TV. Look,
I'll say this. If you want to DM me the reason you guys are on a 6-month break, I'll give you further advice. I'm so curious.
Yes.
DM all of us. You can put all three of us on a DM.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to know if there's more we could be giving.
Right. The 6-month break. But I didn't know if it had to do with her going to Florida for work. Because like,
that would be different distance, right? Like not... But they took a 6-month break?
Oh, maybe they had just watched that episode of Friends and that gave them the idea, like, we should take a break.
We should go on a break.
We should take a break.
And then we can bring it up, you know, for the next 6 seasons.
That was more
our relationship.
But,
that was much more Seinfeld advice.
George, we were on a break.
No, I think you have to frame it of like, hey, this is something that I need and I understand. And like also in just sitting with him through his concerns, because it just sounds too like about, do we say ages here?
No
ages.
This feels like mid-20s.
It's feeling very mid-20s. And so there's also feeling like maybe a touch afraid of just like, again, this, I'm afraid to ruin my credit. I'm afraid of spending too much. It's like, okay, you're going to have to grow up and we're going to take it slow and we're going to keep it simple. And and when I say it's like, I'm not saying you remind him to automatic bill pay. You set up it like, no, he will automatically have his bills taken. And again, this is a credit card for emergencies, for the appendectomies, the vet visits, the things that come up.
Yeah.
And if he can understand, and again, because this is more of a mental game to me with this guy than it is him actually like having a problem. Do you know what I mean? Like there's no actual barrier. I think it's like a mental game and not knowing how to handle money.
And I think it's him being okay with the fact that like, to avoid his own stress, he's okay with her being stressed. I think that's kind of the thing that's the piece I'd talk about. Because all the like automatic pay, whatever, you can figure that out.
No. I'm not giving you my credit card pre-op ever again. That's what she's saying. I'm never giving you my credit card pre-operation.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yes. If there's an IV in my arm, you are not getting my credit card.
You better work it out.
That's it.
You better walk right into Chase. Okay, open up a goddamn account.
Hey, and look, if he's worried about like, I don't know if I'll be able to pay it off, just think about this. How many years does society have really anyway?
Wow.
Right?
Andy?
What are we talking about?
Andy, I think longer than... See, you bring this up, but my concern is that we have a long, terrible time ahead of us.
Okay, that's true. And you know what's going to be functioning? Credit card companies.
The banks.
Oh, yeah, they're never going
down. Cops. Credit card companies are going to be the only things in the wasteland. So, okay. You know what? I stand corrected. Aaron, do you have time for one more?
You know I have. I have all day.
All right. Let's do every single advice question we have.
I would love it.
40 or 50.
Naomi's like, Aaron, please.
No, we could. Because it was funny because I wasn't even going to say, Aaron, do you have time for one more? I was like, we're doing another one. Like, okay. I wasn't going
to
ask. I was just going
to be
like, we're doing another
polite,
one.
Naomi.
No, you are
this
polite.
This is my big event for the weekend.
Ours too, honestly.
Yeah,
ours
I thought we were going to go to a Super Bowl party, and then I found out that that's not this week. So.
Wow, a Super Bowl party.
Outside.
It feels like a lot.
Oh, okay.
I'm already like, are we sure?
I said, well, show
he's
up.
He's the one.
It's a friend of ours.
It's funny because people would never know that Andy's the one of in our relationship who's like dragging us to parties. He's the, like, people would think that I'm the one, you know?
Yeah.
But it's really him who's
who
like, let's go.
That?
Because I'm the front-facing person in this relationship. And you're the one who's always like, we gotta go. And I'm like, no, we don't.
I mean,
you're
by the time...
You're the mermaid on the front of the ship, but Andy's paddling.
Yes. Yes.
I'm captaining. How dare you think I'm just a simple oarsman?
How dare you think I'm just a simple Ursman?
Anyway, this will be out after the Super Bowl.
That was like
so
an old-timey go read. Taylor Swift.
Eagles? Yeah, Taylor Swift. We'll
go Taylor.
All right, this is a voicemail.
Hello, Andy and Naomi and esteemed guest. I have a question about young love, distance. It's very like romance movie-ish, according to my friend. But the story basically is I met someone when I was 18 years old. He was also 18 years old. It was the very beginning of college. It was a whirlwind, as they say. Immediately fell for each other. That was a messy time, and we did not ever officially PM date. You know, it was like a situationship before that was really like a phrase used. But it was really very intense and emotional, and he is still a friend of mine. He's very much in my friend group. But he and I never dated, and then less than 6 months after, we were like, we're just going to be friends. He met a girl. They dated for 5 years. I just watched it happen. But then they broke up. And literally the first time that I saw him after they broke up, mind you, I do live out of town now. The first time I was back in town visiting him and our other friends, we made out a whole bunch. And it was very, like, tender and passionate. And, it was just a lot. And now, you know, it's been 7 years since he and I had our fling thing. But he and I have this weird dynamic going where it's like a will they, won't they situation. But I do live across the country. But also, it's worth noting that we're both 25. And I'm having a hard time knowing whether I should just be like, well, that was fun, and try my very darndest to not have any feelings anymore and move on and, like, just put that in a little box and throw it in the ocean. Or if I should allow the possibility that maybe as we get older, something will happen later. Because every time the opportunity has presented itself, something has happened, and I still want that, but I'm too scared to declare that. So any advice would be great. I feel like an ignorant baby. Thank you, and love you both so very much.
Shit or get off the pot. That's what I say.
My little ignorant baby. My sweet, sweet ignorant baby.
Wait, before. Aaron, you ever been in a situationship?
Well, he was 29 and she was 16.
Yeah, I've probably only been in situationships.
Is this the beginning of an Avril Lavigne song?
Yeah, I'm the ultimate ignorant little baby.
Wait, is that true? You've never been in like a real long-term
relationship? No. I've been in relationships, but I would categorize so many of them as like unhealthy. I've been in a couple sweet ones, good ones.
How long? What's the longest healthiest? What's the longest unhealthiest? Two categories.
Wow. My first boyfriend, which was when I was 18, was we were together for like almost a year. He was so sweet. I was so in love with him. He was so great. And then we were that age. We broke up. He went to college. And then I was with a guy when I first moved to LA, like on and off for 4 years. He was very nice, but like I think we just kept clinging to each other out of like homesickness or like being alone in LA. So it wasn't that he was unhealthy, but we were maybe not. Healthy.
Was he an
improviser? Back to ignorant baby. What? No. He was a DP. Or a DP in school.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, okay, ignorant baby, you are very sweet, and there is okay, because, but I was having trouble, because first it was like, okay, when we were 18, we got together, but it was just a little situationship. Then he was with someone for 5 years. Then when they broke up, they made out.
Yeah.
So now
it's very tender.
And it was a tender make
passionate.
Out. Passionate and tender was the phrasing used.
Sounds great.
But then, here's what I'm missing. What's the communication looking like in the interim?
This was exactly my question. Like, are they in contact now at all?
Yeah. And like, what's the tenor of that conversation? Because to me, if you're just like holding on to these memories, it's like, as Andy said, shit or get off the pot, in terms of like, if this person wants to be with you, they need to make overtures. Now, the fact that you, again, live across the country, so then I'm kind of wondering, well, what is the nature of the communication? Or is he just somebody who you're always thinking about? Because
is this a crush, or is this a friend that you have a crush on? Because it just right now it sounds like a crush.
But it's also like they obviously have this interest in each other, but I'm wondering if it's more like, you know when something doesn't get fully like played out to its natural conclusion?
Yeah.
You hold out the hope, right? Because it hasn't actually been like completely ruined. So yeah. You're like, well, maybe that means that could be my person. And it's like, yeah. First of all, you're 25. And who is your person will... What your person needs to be changes, you know, at different phases of your life. So even though you're like, oh, I like this guy or we have something, it doesn't sound like you've ever had anything that was stable, reciprocal, and like calm. You know what I mean? Like situationship, then like a torrid make out right after he broke up with somebody. It doesn't sound like the signals of somebody who's trying to like be with you for real, for real.
Was it a rebound makeup or was it a... We've been waiting for this for so long, Megan.
Say, this is the question.
Yeah, I hear her, though, on the, like, should I... She said she doesn't feel brave enough to say the thing. I'm sort of like, well, if the other option is you're never going to see him again, you might as well at least say something.
That's,
like,
that's why I said shit or get off the pot. Say it. Yeah. Might as well.
No, I mean, you said it in a more beautiful way than I did. I guess if they're across the country... I would probably literally call him because also whether or not he picks up is, or, you know, text him and say, could we talk? Because I know that's what we're more of that. That's mm-hmm. what we do now.
Do you think 25-year-olds even talk? Because like if someone's like, can we talk? It's like, oh, God, what's about to happen?
Or do you think they send TikToks to each other? That's what 25-year-olds do.
Send them a TikTok. Maybe it even goes viral. Best case, it goes viral. You go with whatever that brings you.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but whatever feels comfortable. I just wouldn't text it because I feel like I hate,
yes.
You don't know what the tone is going to be. And then you'll keep second guessing like, wait, did I explain it right? Should I text again? And this time he'll really get, and just have a conversation. Like a conversation is going to be much clearer. And it doesn't have to be like a, can we talk? It could be like, hey, I we're across the country. We should do a phone date. And then on the phone date, I think if you're going to do this, I would just say like, I actually like you.
Yeah,
like,
past lives it.
And listen, I'm not saying I'm gonna move across the country for you or marry you, but I just thought I've had this feeling for a while. Why not say it? If you don't feel that way, great. Now I know. Because that puts you in a position of like, I'm not like, you're not taking such a risk that you're like, what if he rejects me? It's more like you're being the brave, cool one who's like, let's call this out. This has happened a couple times.
That's true. Especially with the distance. Yeah. It's not like you're like, oh God, I'm gonna have to see him tomorrow at work.
Right.
Or like see him at the bar. Like that's true. You have nothing to lose. But I also want to add to that though. What is your desired outcome? Given that I don't know how often you guys are connecting and talking as it is, and you do live far apart. What are you asking him to do? You want him to come fly out and see you? You want him to, you know what I mean? Like, are you trying to say, like, let's give this a shot long distance style? Because I actually don't think that's going to be good.
No, not especially not to start.
Not to start. That's what I mean. Like, starting at long distance, I think it's very hard to build up the kind of intimacy and rapport you need.
Yeah.
So I think it's one of those where it's like, are you just kind of, or is it kind of like you just trying to like put it out on the table to kind of see, you know, because that's the thing. It's kind of like, I think you get one chance to kind of openly declare your feelings. And I just want to make sure the timing of it is right.
You make a good point because maybe it's better to sort of start like a fun texting friendship so that you stay in touch with this person. And so then if things align.
We build up rapport. We've got to get that
closer. I wonder if that's better.
What if you just send him that little purple devil emoji thing with the smiling devil emoji? Just send him three of those.
Yeah, just see
what he
says.
That should get
it across. Just see what he says. Just see what he thinks.
And then follow it up with the clown, with the person with the dollar signs in their eyes and their tongue sticking out. And
he's just scrolling through emojis right now.
And then a
hot dog with the little like poof, like the hot dog's running.
that should get across exactly, that's clear. Yes,
that's the message you're trying to send.
If that's not your inner soul,
yeah,
or whatever, however many souls you have in you battling for dominance, right, if that's not a depiction of your soul, then I don't know what is.
Yeah
Aaron,
have you ever sent anyone the purple devil emoji.
No, I don't like that one. I can't believe you had it pulled right up.
Yeah, he uses it. No, hold on, listeners. He uses it. I didn't have it. I had to search, and I got worried that you thought I was checking out, Aaron. I got worried that you thought I was going to my phone to like check my email or something.
I did not think that, but it did make me laugh when you pulled up your phone, and I was like, "Oh, that's one of your recent emojis." I never use those. They're like
not recent.
Like,
no, stop slandering me, everyone.
I don't know. I mean, if you were an emoji, you might be the little purple devil.
Yeah, you do have the
devilish eyebrows.
Let's see here. All my recent emoji. That purple devil, a peach, an eggplant, three dots of water.
Oh, gross. So who are you messaging? And I hope you're having fun. Aaron. Thank you so much. This was wonderful. It was so great to find out that I actually did know where you were from, and you were trying to come up in here and embarrass me in my own house.
I know.
And you were from goddamn California with a touch of Massachusetts, a touch of North Carolina.
I should have just said yes. We could. Who knows what we would have talked about had we had the time to not keep listing states?
What would we have talked about? What do you think?
You know, I didn't know what you were. I was curious what you guys were going to ask me. I didn't know.
Well, we just kind of come here and just let the microphone take us away. You know, we look at that Zoom screen and we say, where are we at emotionally? What do we want to talk about? You know,
which I have to say, it went because, as you know, I'm a listener. It sounds like you guys are so prepared for every interview. Truly. Like, really? I'm always like, wow, they came with a list of questions of where it could go. And like, I also love that there's a true crime element, Andy, because when you dig into somebody's answers, I'm always like, ooh, he's not going to let this detail go. Okay.
He's a dogged. It's a dogged.
Did
journalism.
I miss any details in this? I'm the Maloney of
no,
this.
I mean, I think as soon as I said warehouse, you pounced, you know, you weren't letting that go.
We do want to know what's going on in that warehouse. I mean, I'm still like chilled by the thought of it, actually, a little terrified.
It's chilling.
Have you looked up that guy now who is what, in his like 70s or 80s?
Oh my God. How old is he now? Yeah, he's old.
He's in his 50s, right?
He's in his 50s. No, I don't know what he's doing now. I went away for summer, and when I came back, he was like with a woman his age, which, you know, great.
Good for him.
That's great.
You know, did you have any temptation to pull that woman aside and go, he and I were dating? Have you been to the warehouse? Because I want to know if a woman his own age would go to that warehouse, because you got to make a change.
I know. I bet that they spent time at her place. I'm just going to guess. And of course, we couldn't because I lived with my mom.
Were you like, pick me up from the orthodontist and then let's go back to her house?
I have got my braces tightened.
I can't make out too hard. I just got my braces tightened.
God, do you remember that feeling? It used to hurt so much.
It was awful.
Oh my God, yes. Terrible.
I'm so mad that they didn't give me one of those little permanent retainers. You know how some people have like the band on the back of their teeth?
I have it on the bottom, but not the top.
You do?
Why didn't they just do that?
Yes, we've been doing this.
I'm so mad about it.
I know, but I will say, I don't even know how you do it on the top because like it's hard to floss. You know, like I got to really I got to thread it down below.
So you floss. Gotcha.
Not to brag. I do need a deep clean for some infected gums.
Oh, yes. I had to have gum surgery once. I had receding gums. Oh,
well, folks, we will talk about this, of course, next week.
You know what?
On our new show, Orthodontia.
Orthodontia.
But until then,
bye.
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 Hey, we're just popping back in.
Yeah.
As we were chatting with Aaron after we stopped recording, we were just like, hey, we never actually found out. I want to make sure every episode is satisfying.
Yeah, you got to close the loop.
You got to close the loop.
This.
We never actually found
this.
Out.
Because I wasn't ready to end, I'll be honest.
We never found out why you went to junior college.
Yeah, why was it you hit 10th grade?
Yeah.
And I need to know like kind of what was the conversation and why?
Yeah, I think I really had this rushed feeling. It was like in my heart, in my stomach that I was like, I know what I want to do. I want to be an actress and I need to get things happening fast. class, I had this like, I got to get out of this place. And I will say, seeing my friends who were seniors graduate, I felt, made me feel like I was behind, even though literally I was behind, because you're supposed to be like,
yeah, you're a sophomore.
That my God. Yeah. And I really just like, I, at that age, which blows my mind that I was like this, because I'm not like this now. If I got an idea in my head, I was doing it, and and there was no stopping me. And so I told my mom I wanted to do it. I went to the guidance counselor, told them, took the GED, figured this all out by myself, started junior college, was like, oh my God, this is high school with ashtrays with like old people in their 40s. What did I do? It was not that fun. Like, I did not enjoy junior. I really at that point was like, oh, I guess I just have to get through the GEDs. But that is where I met that boyfriend that I loved. That he was a bird guy. He was an ornithologist.
Oh, interesting. He was an ornithologist. A bird guy.
So then what? You did 2 years of junior college?
And then transferred to Emerson in Boston.
Okay. And then you're back on track.
And that's where the comedy bug bit you. When you said, I got to get out of this place, did you have that song and footage of Vietnam in your head as you were... Yeah. What is it? Janis Joplin? We got to get out of this place. What is that?
I don't know. I just like Andy saying that song.
Now I'm there. There's so many songs in my mind that just like, there's got to be something happening here. Said the devil to... No, not that one.
Who's that?
No, what's that?
That might be the Grateful Dead. I don't know what I'm singing.
Wait.
Just got to get out. Just got to get out of here.
You guys have footage of Vietnam in your heads, and then you either hear All Along the Watchtower or We Got to Get Out of This Place? That's not what happens.
When you said Vietnam, I got Forrest Gump in my head my age. Yeah.
That shows the age difference between us. I have China Beach in my head.
The age. I love how the age difference between us. I'm older than you.
I think
I'm not going to say it on the podcast, but I'm certain that I am.
I can bleep it out. Why don't we bleep out? We can say our ages and I'll just bleep them out.
Okay.
How old are you?
Say your age on three. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, we're same age.
But you got to erase this.
You have to bleep it.
Actually, I don't care. Look, I have gray hair. What are we talking about?
I'll bleep it. So the China Beach should be your...
So Naomi, you're the baby.
Oh my God, I'm so young.
The baby.
I'm so young.
I'm so jealous. I love being the youngest. I'm never the youngest anymore.
Oh God.
All right, everyone. We got our answers.
If there's
one thing you're going to get from couples therapy, it's dogged journalism.
Dogged.
I hope we're back for one more coda after this.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.